The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning again. Happy Father's Day and welcome to worship this morning. I'm going to knock that over if I stay right there. I struggle with holidays like this because you probably should preach a message about like the prodigal son and how his dad came back to him, or some kind of message where David talks to his son or something like that, or, you know, some kind of message like that. And that never is really what God does in my heart and life throughout this time. And I always feel like, oh man, that's terrible, because come to church on Father's Day, you expect to get a Father's Day message. But what we're going to talk about this morning applies to fathers. But I want to start with just a question. How many of you got involved, came to church, came to a relationship with Christ, not just because of your parents? Anybody? You had somebody other than a parent figure? A mom or a dad? A couple of y'all? Okay. Wow, not a lot of you guys. I was shocked by that. I thought it would be more than that. That would not. Okay, well, the idea here is this morning, is that whether you're a dad or a father figure or your uncle or whatever, or you're a mom raising a kid on your own, this morning you have an impactful part to play in your child's life. You have an impactful part to play in the life of everyone you come in contact with. And so this morning I want to talk about what you're sowing, what you're putting out there for other people to take hold of and take root with. And we're going to look this morning at a familiar passage. It's in Luke chapter 6. It starts out, and we're not going to look at the whole, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 8. We're not going to look at the whole passage, but we're going to just start out like this. Jesus is telling a parable, and he says this: a farmer went out to sow his seeds. As he was scattering the seeds, some of it fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because it had no moisture. Others fell among thorns, which grew up and choked it, the plants. Still others fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears, let him hear." Now, just starting out with this passage, I want you to understand that Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, when you sow..." He doesn't say, if you decide that you want to become a farmer and you want to sow. He doesn't say, listen, when you get to this age and you become a sower of seeds. He says, a farmer went out and sowed. Now, later on in this parable, he tells us that the seeds that are being sown here are the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the word of God. But before we even get into all that, I want to, and in the very last line he said in that passage in verse 9, he says, whoever has an ear, let him hear. Who do you all think this passage is talking to? Somebody said it. Everybody. Y'all are quiet this morning. That's bad. Everybody. This passage is for everyone. Whether you're a dad, whether you're a mom, whether you're an aunt, you're an uncle, whether you're a kid, you're a student, wherever you are this morning, this passage is for you. So, if that's the case and this passage is for you, then here's the other thing that you and I have to understand. Everyone is sowing something. Every single person who's in this room this morning, every single person who's watching this 2 weeks from now online, or whenever you watch this, or whenever you hear this, you are sowing something. Everybody is. Now, what does it mean to sow? Because you can take that a couple different ways. But to me, sowing means this. It's when you propagate or embed something into somebody's life. So when you sow plant seeds, and I'm not a gardener, my wife is taking that up, and I still don't know what, we have a jungle in one corner of our porch. I don't know anything that's going on there other than it's just plants everywhere. But like when you sow, you take a seed and you put it in the ground and you water it and you hope that something grows in return, right? Now, the real cool thing is this, is that it's kind of a legacy. What is it that you're going to leave in this world? What are you doing right now that's going to be embedded in the roots and the foundation in the reality of next generation? Do you know that there was 30 or 40 years ago, let's see, that may be wrong because I'm 40 years old, so I got to go back further than that now. Good night. remember when I used to be able to say that and it actually was accurate. Back in the 1960s, there was a guy named Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King Jr. decided that it wasn't right for inequality that was happening in the world that day. And so he fought for equality of different people, and he left and embedded equality into his generation. And it changed so much so that now we see that equality worked out. But what things are you going to implant? What things are you going to embed in this generation that when you are long gone will still be there? What are you doing in your world that makes it a better place? What seeds are you sowing that make it a better place tomorrow? So if everyone is sowing something, then this morning I want to just look at a couple things of what you could be sowing. So we have that passage where we find out that everyone is sowing. Over in Galatians chapter 6, Paul writes this, "Do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps whatever he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for in the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So the very first thing that we have to look at this morning is someone who sows seeds from the flesh. What is a seed from the flesh? Actually, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul gives a really great kind of contrasting thing. We know the fruits of the Spirit are love, peace,
joy.
Okay. Hi, how are y'all this morning? The fruits of the Spirit, we learned them in like VBS, Children's Church a long time ago. You can talk, it's okay, I know. You find the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. Well, then right before that, Paul gives this the fruits of the flesh. And he goes through this list of different things that come when we try to satisfy our flesh. But the idea of the things that are satisfied, or the seeds of the flesh, is this. It's anything that is about self-gratification. What do I want right now? That's a seed of the flesh. Because here's the idea, is if all I'm concerned about and all I'm consumed with is what satisfies me in my present and current situation, I'm not thinking about what's best for God's glory. I'm not thinking about what's best for next generations. I'm not thinking about what's best in the future sense. I'm thinking about what I want right now in this moment. Now, I'm an impulsive person at times. But here's the thing. You know when I became less impulsive? When I became a dad. Used to be, Kelsey and I would be like, hey, listen, it's Thursday night. Let's drive someplace and go spend 2 days and come back for church on Sunday. Not anymore. Y'all, we went to Dallas for the convention last week. I swear we had 6 suitcases filled to the brim with floaties and swimmies and diapers and all kinds. It took 3 weeks just to plan for a 3-day trip. Impulse goes out the window when you have to plan for 3 weeks. But the idea is this, is that an impulsive person a lot of times thinks about where they are right now and what they want right now. They don't think about the future. They don't think about how the decision they're about to make is truly going to affect the next day. Sowing seeds from the flesh is dangerous, Paul tells us, because it reaps destruction. It may seem good in the moment, but it doesn't end well. Over in Job chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, "I've observed that those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble reap the same." Church, can I give you a word of caution this morning? If you are sowing seeds that are focused on where you are right now with no care or concern for what's next, you're heading down a road for destruction. If all you're sowing is what makes you happy in the moment, you're heading down the road for destruction. Because what all these verses say is we don't say this in church terms, but what goes around comes around. Whatever you sow now, it is what you're going to reap tomorrow. You say, well, you don't understand. I've got to work right now. I've got to give all my time to my job right now because my job needs me right now. And so that's where I have to be so I can provide for my family. I get that. I do. But if all you do is focus on that and you don't focus on the time you spend with your family, you know what's going to happen? Your family's not going to need you there. Your kids won't remember how many hours you worked. They'll remember if you were there. They'll remember where you were on Sunday morning. The lake, look, man, I walked outside today and I was like, this is the day for the lake. Bright, sunny. Danny, I'm sure some fish will be, well, you could probably find a fish that was biting, not going to. But there's a fish biting someplace. It'd be a great day to be in the lake. But you know who would remember that you chose the lake over church? Your kids. You probably wouldn't remember it. It'd just be another day for you. But what you sow today, you reap tomorrow. It's foolish of us to think that we can all... I had a conversation with a gentleman this week. And he kept saying over and over again, I want to get my kids in church. I want to get my kids in church. I need to get my kids in church. And I said, awesome. Where do you go to church? No, Pastor. I need to get my kids in church. I said, great. Where do you go to church? It's foolish of us to think that we can live however we want to and expect that our kids are going to do the right thing in the next day in time. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you are sowing from the flesh, you're going to reap from the flesh. You're going to reap destruction. And what that verse in Job tells us is that your end will be troubled times. Another type that kind of goes along with this is seeds of discord. In Proverbs, I'm going to let you guys get that real quick. You can go back for a second, boss. Sorry. It's seeds of discord. Sowing seeds of discord. We don't have any discord in our culture today, do we? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 says this, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife, and gossip separates the best of friends. I always wondered why Solomon used that phrase, planted a seed of strife. Because y'all know those people who, they don't really want to see the explosion happen, they just want to plant the seed and then walk away. Y'all know those folks? They want to come in your life and they want to stir things up. They don't want to be there when everything happens. They just want to stir it up and then step back and watch. It's interesting, this person who sows seeds of discord, their goal and their aim isn't to solve anything. It's just to bring destruction. Be careful with those type of people. If you're that type of person, be careful. I've got a friend named Irby who's in Alabama, and I only hear from Irby when there's trouble in his life, it seems like. And he started texting me this week, and we were talking about different things. And what I used to love to do with Irby is I knew what buttons to push to get him really riled up. I mean, man, like I didn't even necessarily believe what I was saying. I would just say it because it would get him worked up like all get out. And he would go crazy and he would argue and he would fight. And I have to be careful with myself because I would make him really mad and I would cause division and I would cause hurt between he and I just by me kind of being bored and looking for something to do to get him riled up. And I had to be really careful because I could do it so easy. And we all know people like that in our lives. Over in Romans chapter 16, it says this, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving the Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. This morning, I'm not saying that you have to only hang out and talk to... I love when someone disagrees with me. I really do. Because when somebody disagrees with me, it means that I need to go back and I need to really find out, do I really believe what I'm saying? I'm weird. I love criticism. I love things like that because it helps me figure out where I really stand on things. But notice, that's not the goal of these people. These people aren't criticizing to help. These people aren't causing division to help you think. Or these people aren't causing disagreement to help you think. These people are causing disagreement for disagreement's sake. I was talking to Andy earlier, and he was talking about riots back a couple years ago. I'll never forget, 4 or 5 years ago, there were riots all over our country, similar to today. And they interviewed one of the people that were rioting, and they said, in your opinion, what would we do that could fix this? I don't know. They weren't writing for a cause. There was no purpose. There was no agenda. There was no solution to the problem. They just wanted to make a problem. Be careful not to be one of those people. Now, it doesn't look like that, but here's the thing. These people do it because they want to feel heard. They want to feel important. They want to know that their opinion makes an impact. Be careful not to do that. Sometimes it's easy for us because we want to be heard, because we want to know that our opinion makes an impact. Sometimes it's easy for us to stir up trouble just because. Then another type of seed that obviously goes in contrast to that is sowing seeds of peace. You ever met somebody who just brings peace? That meant they could walk into the most heated of conflict places, and all of a sudden people would just be like best friends. I always felt like I don't know that that's my spiritual gift, but I had a pastor that I served under one time, and his view was this: conflict's good because conflict brings resolve. The only problem with that is he went out and looked for conflict, and then he called me to come sit in the room with him during the conflict to be the peacemaker. Now this is totally backwards. Like I was 20 years old. He called me in his office and he said, "Hey, I've got to fire the secretary." I said, "Okay, why?" And he has this long list and he goes, "I want you to stay in here with me though." "No, I don't want to be in here, man. I want to be in my desk. Leave me alone. Leave me out of this." When he said that, I had a peaceful nature about me. I have no clue what that meant. But do you ever meet people that just bring peace into situations? It makes me think of different circumstances and situations in our life. The contrast of those people who look to stir stuff up is, do you ever look for how you can help people see eye to eye? Do you ever walk into a room knowing there's going to be difficulty, knowing there's going to be conflict, and seek opportunities to be the peacemaker? Y'all have that family member? Everybody gets awkward when that family member walks in. If you're like, no, it's you. But how many of you look for opportunities to make that family member feel comfortable? To take tension out of the room, to take things and make peace with it. The Bible tells us that we should be peacemakers over in James chapter 3, verse 18. He says this, "And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap harvests of righteousness." Church, can I encourage you this morning, when you think about what you're sowing, look for opportunities to bring peace into people's lives. Same guy I was having a conversation with this week, he said, "Man, I just want peace." He said, "I go home and there's fighting between my wife and me. I go home and there's fighting between my kids and me. I go to work and there's fighting between my boss and me." He said, "Everywhere I go, there's fighting and I just want peace." This morning, can I encourage you? You can be someone who sows seeds of peace into those situations and circumstances. The next type of seeds we see sown are sowing eternal seeds. Why do you plant seeds? Y'all are quiet this morning. All right, you plant seeds because eventually you know that a tree's going to grow, or a garden's going to grow, or something's going to grow, and you're going to reap the benefits, right? Okay, good. But it's not right then. I'm going to pick on Evie real quick. Evie has been obsessed with growing watermelons for about a year now. So, Christmas time, her grandparents gave her watermelon seeds. And she planted a watermelon seed outside in their little flower pot. Me, being a good dad and wanting to fix things, thought that I was going to take care of this problem, and I was going to go to the store and find a little watermelon and put it where the seed was, and then... Do you know what my 4-year-old did? She was all tore up because, "Dad, watermelon seeds don't grow that fast. Siri said so." So why? How can you talk to Siri? I can't get Siri to answer me. And somehow she found out that watermelon seeds take 4 to 6 weeks to grow, and she had all these facts and stuff. We don't plant seeds expecting to get something the next day. We know it's an investment. We know it's the long term. It's the end game we're looking at, not the immediate results. This morning, if you're sowing seeds that are based on right now and not future, you might be wasting your time. Over in 1 Peter, hold on. Actually, I've got to get to my notes and see where this one is. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, he says this, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." What that tells you and I, church, is this, is that you and I, when we became followers of Christ, we got rid of those temporary seeds that we planted. See, before, that was found in things like your job or what you did for a living or your bank account or your financial status or your social status or different things like that. All that wrapped up into who you were. But when you became a follower of Christ, all that stuff died. And you became Christ. And if you became Christ, then what that means is that you should be planting and sowing seeds that are going to make a difference in eternity. Can I ask you a really hard question this morning? When's the last time you had an eternal impact on somebody's life? We had VBS a couple weeks ago, and you know, I was there. Okay, cool. Your presence matters, and I'm so grateful you were there. When was the last time you were intentionally focused on impacting somebody's life for eternity? Not just happened to, not just hoped for it. You intentionally sought somebody out to make a difference in their eternal destination and future. That verse in Peter tells us that we're supposed to sow seeds of the eternal nature by the living word of God in our life. Cool, but how do I do that? You may say, great, sow seeds of generosity. Said, sow seeds of generosity over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It says this, remember those who sow sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will reap generously. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, it says this, one gives freely that gains even more. Another withholds what is right only to become poorer. A generous soul will prosper. And he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Can I encourage you this morning? There's two different ways to take this. Sow seeds of generosity. You can't take it with you. You know, one of the most freeing things I've found out is that whatever I have isn't mine, it's God's. Cool, man. You need something? Here it is. Why? Because it's God's. And if I give it to him, he's going to give it back to me in some way, form, or fashion. People will think you're crazy, but listen, if you live generously realizing that everything you have is a blessing from God, God's going to bless you in return. This is not a name it, claim it, wealth, health, fame type of thing. This is scripture saying that if you live generously, God's going to give generously to you. Now, the second part of that is this. It's not just financially. This extends into every area of your life. Where the wealth, health, and fame guys get it wrong is they say, well, listen, if you give God money, God's going to give you money back. God doesn't work like that. If you give generously your time, God's going to bless your time. If you give generously your means, God's going to give generously in means. Whatever you give, God's going to give, but it's going to be a blessing in return in a different way. The other way to look at this too is this. If you really want something to grow, do you take one seed and put it in the ground? What do? Lots of seeds. Church, if all you're doing is saying, hey, listen, I came to church on Sunday morning. Do something great with it, God. You think that's going to grow into anything, really? But when you look for opportunities, you overwhelm your life generously with, God, do something in my life. Do something in my life. You're constantly thinking about ways that you can see God do something in your life. Who do you think is going to see more of a reward? probably the person who looks for opportunities versus the person who says, here's my Sunday morning, you can have it and nothing else. Sow generously and look for opportunities for God to in turn show you how great, how wonderful, and how marvelous He is. So what do we sow? We sow seeds of faith. Sowing seeds of faith, Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says this. He said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. For nothing will be impossible for you. When future generations look at your life, when my kids look at my life, I hope they'll remember roller coasters and tickle jail. I hope they'll remember fun things like that. But if my kids don't remember that Dad was faithful, that Dad lived faith, trusting God with his life, with our family, with everything, then I failed. I'm not saying that for you. That's my conviction. You can go pray about it when you get home. But I can tell you this. More than the fun, more than the gifts, more than anything else for them, I hope they saw a dad who lived out his faith and truly trusted God with everything in his life. A guy who believed God could move mountains. And lived like that. You say that's kind of hard to do. You're right. But over in 1 Corinthians, Paul gives us another insight into how to do this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have no purpose, or have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field and God's building. You know what that means? It means you put it out your life. You trust God with the results. You trust God with everything. You trust God for the rewards. You trust God for the reaping. You trust God for the fruit. You trust God for everything. You live the life that you know you're called to live, and you trust Him with the results. Man, that takes a really hard concept to make it kind of easy. Listen, I'm going to do what I feel God telling me to do, and I'm going to trust that He's going to take care of everything. I hate to do this, and I know time's getting away from me. I'm sorry. Kelsey and I made the decision to move here in November. Our one holdup was, God, Nora is finally liking school. She likes school. She doesn't want to leave school. She's our one holdup. God, we can't leave because she's not okay with leaving. 2 days later, Nora comes, says, Dad, I think our new house in Louisiana will have bugs and rats in it. It's possible, but I don't think so, baby. It looks like a pretty nice house. I think everything's good. She goes, okay, I'm good to move. Out of nowhere. You know what we did? We made the decision to go, and we trusted God with the results. That wasn't a conversation that she and I had with Nora. There was no prodding, there was no stirring, there was nothing in her other than God changed my kid's heart because we trusted Him and said, hey, this is where we're going in faith, and left the results up to Him. The last thing is this, it's sowing seeds of righteousness and love. One fancy word and then a common word that we all know. Righteousness just means this, it's a right way of living. Love, you guys know what love is. Are you sowing seeds of right living and love? When people look at your life, do they feel that you have a sense of how to live, and you do things motivated out of a loving heart? Or do they question your motives on things? Do they wonder if you're honest, if you're upright, if what you're saying is actually what you're doing? In Hosea chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, it says this: sow righteousness for yourself, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers His righteousness on you. But you have planted wickedness and have reaped evil. Church, can I ask you a question this morning? What kind of seeds are you sowing? Are you sowing seeds that are going to make a difference in somebody's eternity? Are you sowing seeds that are drawing other people closer to Christ? Are you sowing seeds that are going to leave those behind you with a better understanding of God's love and mercy than they have without you? Listen, I know it's Father's Day, and I know the focus is on dads, but again, this is for everyone. Because everyone in this room this morning is sowing some type of seed. From the smallest one of us to the oldest one of us and everywhere in between. Every single person in this room this morning is sowing some type of seed. The question becomes, what are you sowing? And if you only reap what you're sowing, in 30 years, in 40 years, in eternity, when you look back, are you going to be pleased with what you sowed?
Father God, this morning,
Lord, we thank you. God, I thank you for the people who sowed into my life. Father, people who sowed righteousness, who sowed faith, who sowed love. God, who sowed a clear image of you so that, Lord, I would have a better image of a God who loved me so much, He would give His Son to die on a cross for me. Father, this morning, I pray that you open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to the truth that, God, we're all sowing some type of seed. Lord, I pray that as we enter into this time of worship and response, God, that you would just stir in our hearts. Father, you would help us to take stock of the seeds we've been sowing. Lord, if there are seeds that have been sowed to the flesh or for corruption or discord or whatever, God, that you would help us to throw those seeds away. Father, to look for opportunities to sow peace, to sow love, to sow faith, mercy, and grace in our world that we live in. Father, do now during this time what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.